are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And my name is Cookie Monster.
And the voice of the people.
Okay. And today we are joined by Courtney Antipas. There's no AKA anymore. It's just Courtney.
No AKA. That name is taken already, so I can't.
Too funny. Yes. So today we are going to be talking about, I think it might possibly be one thing that maybe we've all been through. I don't know. Possibly. We'll see as we go. How honest people decide to be in this episode. But we're talking about backsliding and just the process of how that happens or why people get in that mind space of walking away from their faith or walking away from God. So that should be interesting. Actually, that's a Christianese word, right? Pretty much, backsliding.
Pretty much. We've actually covered it.
Did we?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. Backsliding.
When you're still
creative. Yes,
when
you're right. Anyway, all right. So please refer to episode 19 for the
it's a revised
description
version.
Of revised. Backsliding.
So today we're actually naming this topic. I'm slipping. I'm falling. So we want to talk about this subject, right? Because we may know people who used to be on fire for God. But then just through the passage of time, things happen. They just start falling into all kinds of things. Or we may know people who used to be very consistent with their church attendance and used to be involved in church and, you know, just all the godly things. But now they don't do that anymore. So I want to talk about that. And maybe it could be you. You know, maybe you used to be very on fire for God and focused on God, but you're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. The discussion is going to be centered around that. What's the story with that? What causes that?
You know, as you were talking and you said people who are falling away or whatever, that term, like falling, it almost makes it seem like it's a process that's happening to you. Because, right. You know, like when you trip and fall, it's not like you planned to fall. So I don't know how I feel about when people say, oh, he's fallen away or he's falling away, because it's like, oh, shame. It's something he can't control.
Okay, doing a moonwalk.
All right.
That's actually a dope description.
Replacing biscuit right now. Like, you would be very proud of your statement. But yeah, is it something that we can control? Do you find that when people are in this, if you want to call it a phase or season, do they feel in control of what is happening, this process of quote-unquote falling away? Kind of like how people say, I'm falling in love. I feel like, no, you're choosing to love this person.
Right.
So, I don't know.
In fact, sorry, before we continue, I'd like Courtney to just introduce who exactly he is.
Oh, right.
Some people
that
don't know who
useful.
He is and what he does. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Cool. Doesn't matter really. But anyway, yeah.
To me.
Courtney Antipas. Recently I've come up, hey?
Antipas isn't that a Greek name?
Yeah, it is.
But are you Greek?
I think so.
Okay.
See, like 2 generations back,
okay.
I don't know what happened. And as far as back as I know, my great-grandfather went back to go fight in the war. Well, someone, World War, something like that. Mm. So I left my grandfather here, and that's like cut off, so I don't know anything about that
right,
side.
Cool.
So yeah, long story short, yeah, I am Greek. I just have no real ties to Greece. Anyway, besides the name. So Courtney Antipas, I am a loved and accepted person, and that should be enough by God. What I do, music. I like vlogging now. It's just a cool way in which I'm an artsy person, so I'm expressive in that sense. So whether it's audio, video, production, that's pretty much me right now. Yeah. I won't get into all the other things that I'm studying or whatever. It's
like
not
the, way
not the
you're
time.
Being so modest about the fact that you're like one of the best rappers.
See, as you just said, I'm one of the best rappers, quote unquote, but Courtney needs to introduce himself. Maybe people don't know. So
Courtney is one of the
I don't
in my view is
a
the
person,
best
I guess.
Christian rapper in Zim and possibly in Africa. This dude is bad news. Anyway, that's what I think and what I think
He's
matters.
Bad news, but he raps the good news.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's start.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, where does it all begin? I think we're talking about the fact that maybe, you know, we shouldn't call it falling, right? Because we kind of remove the responsibility from the person. Yeah.
So I talk now?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought more was the way you were talking. I was like, I thought more was coming. I think just the use of the word falling, as you say, takes away the responsibility because it's not like you don't know what you need to do. You don't want to do it.
Right.
Like, if I'm honest, if I talk about my time when I spent, you know, chasing the dream per se out in the world.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't know that there was I was compromising. I knew I was compromising, but I didn't want to hear that I was compromising. So right. You justify it. Sometimes I think what you don't know is you assume that you're still okay. And then you get to a point, a roadblock where it's like you hit with like this real thing. Like, okay, wait, do I really believe in this God that I say I believe in? Because this is the only thing that seems to be holding me back from, quote unquote, making it.
Right.
Okay, you want to go out and you want to, you know, make the most of your, quote unquote, gift out in the world. But then you're like, okay, I can't really talk about this type of stuff because it's like doesn't line up with my faith. It can't really do that. But I mean, isn't it grace? Isn't we throw that one in there? Isn't it grace? And we start talking ourselves into like, okay, so maybe I'll just take a step. And then eventually you get to a point where you're like, okay, yeah, I'm deep in this. And then coming out, whether it's the guilt or just the pleasure or whatever it might be that you hooked onto in that world that now you're like, okay, you know, I'm too far gone per se. But no one actually is too far gone. I think it's more of the enemy that's actually telling you that you cannot go back. Look at your life. Look at, I mean, he's the accuser at the end of the day,
right?
You know? So, we know what we're doing when we're doing it. We just don't want to admit it. That's the truth.
But don't you think, there's scenarios or situations where people start to lose their faith in God because of things that happen to them. So here's what I'm trying to say. Someone can go through a tragedy, can go through a really difficult episode.
Yeah.
Right. And that dents their confidence in the person of God.
Yeah.
And then they can just start, I guess, slipping.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of two reactions when you get disappointed. Either you're angry or you're like, I really want to press into God and get his comfort. Or
exactly,
whatever,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Because you find this is the weird thing also. What brought me back was a situation like that.
Right.
Yeah, with my grandmother passing away, it was a really crazy like thing that happened for me. It was painful because we were really close. And that's what made me explore my faith again. So I don't know, look, it varies for people. I understand that with some people, like as you said, it's just something can happen and it'd be like, you know, where was God when I needed him? You know, where was, you know, the pastor says that, you know, if I do ABCD, God is always going to come through, but God didn't come through. So, you know, does that mean he's not like God or he doesn't exist? And you know, all these things start running through your mind and stuff. But so I understand. That's the thing, because you know, I know people, and in some ways I've also battled with some of these thoughts. But it still isn't this. I mean, I may seem insensitive in saying this, but I it still isn't a concrete thing to say, like, okay, I can't turn away from, I'm gonna turn away from God, because, you know, when you get into knowing about Him more and His sovereignty and how He works out all things for your good, because He's, you know, you've been transformed into the image of His Son. And when you start digging deeper, then you start understanding, like, okay, everything that life throws at me is to make me better, you know. And even if it seems like it sucks at the moment, eventually there's a lesson in this here and stuff. So, yeah, perspective and stuff. But, yeah, people do have different reasons that they, you know, use to say, to justify why they want to turn away from God. I think that's probably the best way I can put it.
Yeah. Just a quick one. There's a scripture that I want to read here. It's James chapter 1, in verse 13. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the 14th verse says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire is lured away and enticed. Then it goes on and on and on. But the picture that this verse is painting is that we're tempted when we give in to certain desires. Those can then begin to lead us on a path that, I guess, ends up being a very slippery one and can lead us in a very dangerous place. But I'm just saying that maybe we can talk about that a little bit, that just the whole process of temptation, you know, because I don't know if we talk about that enough, that we're tempted every day.
Yeah.
Right. Even in church, there's lots of temptations, and it's very easy for us to start compromising while going to church.
Yeah.
And slowly we just begin to lose that, you know, that conscience, that thing, that conviction. And before we know it, we're in a dangerous place. So I think for our listeners, what I'd like us to talk about is just this whole process of temptation, right? T-Mac was saying, you're not necessarily falling. It's not something that's happening to you, but you see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that this is what I'm doing. You can see that the conversation I'm having with this person is going to lead somewhere. Or you can see that this stuff that I'm watching is not good, whatever the case is. So how do we, I guess, identify temptation? How do we identify something that could potentially start leading us on that downward spiral?
You know, I actually, when you were saying that even in church we can be tempted, first of all, my mind went to, oh, okay, maybe if some girl is dressed not so great in church, you could be tempted to look at her lustfully. But then those are very obvious things. There's other things that are not so obvious that also just get us moving down that slippery slope, like pride. Like, you start to think that, I mean, I'm brilliant. I mean, everything that I do is thanks to my intelligence, my efforts, my good looks, whatever. And you get to a point where it's like, I pray to God out of courtesy, maybe, or just to say thank you, or just to look good in front of other Christians, but you don't necessarily believe that all the good things that you're doing are through God.
Yeah.
And that pride can definitely lead you down that road.
So you're doing well in your career, things are working.
Mm.
Let's say, okay, in church we like to say God is blessing you, and The business is going well. Things are now firing. And it's very easy to now start thinking, you know what, I did this by myself. Or to think, you know, I've got this.
Or even people who serve, like worship leaders.
Yeah.
So many people are just like, oh, you did so great this Sunday. You're like, yeah, I'm like you said, bad news.
Yeah.
And you start little by little relying more on yourself than on God. Like, you increase and He actually decreases, even though you're still serving Him.
So we're saying success, even within a godly context, can be dangerous.
I reckon.
Courtney?
Yeah, I agree. No, I guess, look, like when you say where does temptation comes from, I think it's found in that same portion of scripture that you were reading, that James 1 from 14. Temptation comes from our own desires. I'm reading from the NLT, by the way. Yeah. So it comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So the thing is, who allows it? When sin is allowed to grow, who allows it? So as you said, temptation, we live with temptation all around us. We have these desires inside of us because we are still in fleshly bodies.
Yeah.
So if you don't have, like, here's the thing, as a male, if you don't have if you see a beautiful woman and you're not like, wow, she's beautiful, then you're probably not alive. If you, say for example, or left alone in a room and there's money on the table and it's not yours and the thought doesn't pass your mind in your head to say, hey, let me just take it and go, then you're probably not alive. These things will pass through your mind.
Yeah.
They will there. But then if you give into them, it's giving into these things, I think, that leads you. And it gives birth to sin.
Yeah.
And if that is not checked and if that is not controlled, that's where now someone gets into a backslidden state, which we're talking about now. So, yeah, it comes from our desires and stuff. And you're so right. I think when we think of temptation, we only think of the obvious things, like to lust, to, you know, lie, to do those type of things.
Yeah.
But then, you know, temptation can come in a compliment. Like, as you said, someone can be like, there was great worship today, or that's a great song, or you're the best rapper, you know, in Zim. And I can be like, but I am. Yeah, man.
Sorry, bro. So I was actually putting you but tight there.
No, you weren't. But you see, it's not your desires. It talks about me, my own desires. So if I have a pride problem, then that is going to be an issue for me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess maybe that's... anyway, I guess that's why I...
Yeah.
Some people perceive me to be modest, but I know what I'm checking inside of myself. Because that flesh that wants to come out and be like, yes, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you use the word check there.
Yeah.
Because I think that the next question that I'd want to ask is, do people have checks? Do they, you know, are we proactively putting things in place that help us check where we're at? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if... as a young man, you know that you could possibly have a problem in a particular area.
Yeah.
What checks have you put in place to make sure that, you know, you don't fall into certain things? Or like you said, if you're an artist, if you're a worship leader, you know you could potentially have a pride problem. Maybe you're a preacher, right, a pastor, and you know that you can preach up a storm, but you also know that can kind of lead you to pride. What checks... what mechanisms have you put in place to make sure that you check yourself? You know, I remember Pastor E. Oles used to say back when I crossed culture that check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what sort of checks and balances are there that people can put in place to make sure that we kind of watch where we're at?
Maybe we don't take enough time to really get to know ourselves. Because you are aware that there's forgiveness. Like, I don't
Grace.
Know, like, you know that I'm not perfect. We all hear the expression, nobody's perfect. So when you do mess up, I don't think you go to the extent of thinking, I actually have a problem in this area. You just think, Asha, I'm human, bruh, I made a mistake. And then you just go along your merry way. And you may not even notice that there's a pattern forming and you keep making the same mistakes because you know that... If I just ask for forgiveness, I'll be bought.
I think that's the beauty of Christianity, in that we promise the Holy Spirit and He will, the Bible says that He will guide us in all truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a believer, the first check you get is from the Spirit.
Yeah.
So if you are getting no checks, then you probably need to now take a few steps back and find out, are you actually a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I think a Christian will have checks. It's, are you feeding into those checks? Because, you know, what you feed into, that's what you control by. Are you feeding into the flesh or are you feeding into the checks of the Holy Spirit? Because the truth is we have checks all the time. Just like how we tempted, we also have checks.
Yeah.
But what are we listening to more? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So I like that you touched on the aspect of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, maybe for some people, it's not as easy for them to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Or maybe someone has actually kind of just become numb to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Maybe another layer of checks, if I can call it that, that we can also talk about is accountability.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just having people around you that can hold you to account to say, yo, bruv, what's going on? Who's that girl?
Yeah.
But how often do we do right. that? Like, because we're always stuck between not judging and being loving to people. Yeah, because if I see you being shady, my desire to not judge you will probably supersede me wanting to help you as my brother and be like, dude, I think what you were doing was a bit offside or shady, or however I word it. And at the same time, I'll be like, but teach their own.
I think
I'm judging him.
Yeah, that comes with relationship. Yeah. And I mean, I know it's the same thing. Like, if I don't have a relationship with you, it's difficult. In as much as I know I should do it, it's difficult for me to be like, yo, Tino, or T-Mac. That's your name. Oh, T-Mac. Cookie Monster. Yo, what you're doing, fam? I don't think it was, you know what I'm saying, appropriate. Or how do you think this people know you as a worship leader, as this person? Well, how do you think that plays? How's your relationship with God? Like, is there any issues? I can't just do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what? Who are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, and unfortunately, that's the climate that we live in. And it's difficult to have real conversations with even homies, because it's like, he's meant to be my homie, man. You know?
Yeah.
Understand what I'm going through type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You know, I'm part of a group of guys. We've got, like, I guess, I don't even know what to call it. But we've got a group, and there's about six of us. And we talk about all kinds of random things. And sometimes we can just start going offside, as guys do. But we have a friend who's also a pastor on the group, right? And
this is the worst.
He's like a party pooper, bro. Because the dude would just be like, what does God think about this? And we're like, bruh.
We're just having a conversation.
And we start throwing scriptures. But you know what? I appreciate that. Because not having that, right? As you know, as guys, you can just start, you can go on tangents. Christian guys, we're all like, I think we're all good guys. At least wanting to do good, right? But you know,
you are sinners saved by grace. That's what you are.
As guys, it's very easy to just start talking about random things or to get carried away.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to always have a voice or someone who brings you back.
Yeah.
In check to say, hey, what about this? Have you thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to proactively seek that. It's not easy, but I think we need to proactively seek that in our lives, because if we don't, then we'll just drift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because our desires lead us in a certain way.
Yeah.
So, but then how do you become more accountable? Maybe is the question.
Mm.
Proactively.
I think it comes back to relationship, and you got to be willing to build and form relationships with people and be honest about your life to that person and vice versa. You know, I'm someone who likes to simplify everything. You know, like even when you said like the Holy Spirit, some people can't hear. Everybody hears from the Holy Spirit. That little foot that's telling you to do the thing which lines up with scripture, that sounds like you, that's the Holy Spirit. Like right. It's not I am the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, take this path. It's none of that stuff, you know. Take this path.
Like, do people need the Holy Spirit to tell them to bath?
Some people might need the Holy Spirit to tell them to take a bath.
Wow.
But yeah, it's as simple as that. So even like with relationship, you gotta be proactive in that, okay, I'm gonna avail myself to this particular person. Dude, yo, I'm struggling with these thoughts. I'm struggling with this here. No matter whatever they will think about, if they're your true homie, they're your true friend, they will be like, okay, cool. I've got a friend like that there. He's based in South. When we get together, we just talk about real stuff.
Yeah.
And we're talking to each other, And while we're doing this, it's not like I'm keeping you accountable. I'm going to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible says, and I think you're wrong there. I'm listening to him. I'm taking in. I'm showing him that I'm your boy.
Yeah.
Whatever you say is safe with me. Have you considered this? Have you considered that? Finished.
Right.
Have you considered what the word says in this instance? It won't even be as formal as that. It might just be in just our general conversation. And then you find 2 or 3 hours later, we'll be like, you know what? What you said there made me think about this here. And yeah, I think I'm going to take this path, not that path. It's as simple as that. Just getting real, taking off the layers. We like onions in church, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm. Smelly onions. And taking that layer off is not easy. It's going to bring tears. It's going to be hard, but we have to just become vulnerable.
Right.
I think that's probably another thing. We want to show as if we, or put up a front as if we are put together.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in churches, it seems like that's the number one thing that's going on. Everyone comes to kind of show, I'm following what pastor says, So things are going right in my life, whatever, you know. So, but in reality, things ain't like that there. So We just need to be real and vulnerable with each other and be intentional about building relationship and tell people the truth. That's it.
And I'm listening to you and I'm like, yes, that is exactly what we need to do. It's not easy. It's really, yeah. So I think, I know for me, I've gotten to a space where I was like, yes, I know the Bible says confess your sins one to another, but some of my sins, I'm sorry, we're just going to have to deal with these one-on-one. And I thought for a while, yeah, that's fine. We can keep dealing with the one-on-one, but then you really do need someone, hey. Like, because literally if it's just you and God, you make a lot of excuses for yourself.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, I found out going through what I've recently gone through that you do need somebody as well that you'll be able to talk to and let them know what's going on in your mind. Because if you don't, yes, it's good. That relationship between you and God is good, but then God also uses people. Sometimes my wife can just say just one small little thing that can knock sense into me and be like, yeah, like, I just need to take it easy. Things are going to be okay. I shouldn't worry too much. So you need that, you know. But, and also disclaimer, you shouldn't confess your sins to everybody. Because there's some people in the church that, as Paul says, they're busybodies.
Yeah.
They'll run around and you'll hear your stuff being preached about on the pulpit eventually.
Yeah. So I want us to just move swiftly along. I think, you know, just as we draw to a close, I know there's so much we can talk about just on this subject. But, you know,
I realize I haven't. You guys have both shared about yourselves, but I haven't said much.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm just listening. But I think for me, there have been multiple times. But the most recent time was because for some reason I thought Christianity demanded perfection from me. And I just thought, well, that's unattainable.
Mm.
Why should I even try? So it starts off with thoughts like that. And then I do one thing and then another thing and another thing. And then I'm just like, well, I'm not built for this.
Yeah.
Walk. I was still attending church because I liked praise and worship and my friends were there, but my heart was not in it at all. And it literally took, and then you get to a point where you've sinned so much and just done so many stupid things that you think you're not worthy of the grace anyway, and you're not worthy of the forgiveness, and you're not worthy of him. Or even to get into his presence. Like, you just think you're so far gone that it's like, I'm a lost cause.
Yeah.
And, Tish, when you get there, it's, hopefully the only way from there is up. Because that's, for me, that was like the bottom. And it literally took me having a car accident where I felt like I almost died for me to be like, yo, okay, no, but this God thing, I may want to revisit that because I don't want to go to hell. But yeah, it was that. Like, sin really does distance you from wanting more of God and from wanting to be around people who would help you back to that place. So yeah, it's tricky. I withdrew from everyone, from my family, from my friends. Yeah.
Was it that time when you stopped talking to me?
Probably. I don't know.
I'm just joking. Yeah, that's real. And thank you for sharing that, because I think that's really important. What I find is that as Christians, we often forget the sharpness of the words that Jesus says. And one of the things that Jesus says is that we should walk on the narrow path. And I know we talk about that very glibly sometimes, and we forget, you know, what the implications of that could be, walking the narrow path.
Yeah.
You know, it means that we literally have to be very careful, and we have to be very watchful, you know. And there's just so many different examples in Scripture where Jesus keeps reminding us how serious this walk is. And I think we also underestimate the kind of enemy that we have, you know, just the different traps that the devil will bring. It's not going to be, I don't think it's always going to be like demons and all these weird things. Sometimes it's just the things you like, you know, sometimes it's those things that you think harmless, come on. But slowly, you know, those things draw you away, or it's pain, whatever. But I think I'll just share something that Ravi Zacharias says. Yes, I'm going to quote Ravi again. He says something profound, and he talks about how if you don't have an end goal, you won't know what a distraction is, right? So if you don't have an end goal, you don't know when you're getting distracted.
You don't know when you're going distracted a detour from if you don't know where you're going,
So if we don't set a goal to say, I actually want to pursue God, I want to know God, then it's very difficult for us to know when we're being distracted from that. No, meaning that I think there needs to be a lot of intentionality in the way that we live our lives as Christians. We can't just kind of go with the flow. We can't just be like, God, I'll just do this God thing. Because then when you start getting distracted, you know, you won't know that you're getting distracted.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite profound. But anyway, I don't know, any closing words from you, any parting words from you guys before we...
I think don't tell yourself it's a phase, because that's pretty dangerous. Or don't tell yourself it's a season. Like, if you just sense that you are veering off what you already know is the right path, just talk to someone. I don't know. It, like I said, you feel naked and you feel really vulnerable and very uncomfortable. But it's just like you said, it's a slippery slope, and then you keep telling yourself, it's just a phase. But then it can end up in apostasy.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just a phase that I've recently learned. Going through some, like, anxiety issues, and you're a believer. You wonder if I'm a believer, I'm not meant to be going through these things. And sometimes you can assume that because you are a believer, these things shouldn't affect you. And I think we need to be at peace with, I don't want to say imperfection, because other people can be like, it means I can do what I want. Yeah. But I mean, we need to be at peace with not being super Christians. I think that's the way to say it. When we are hurting, we need to let it out.
Acknowledge.
Let God know. Acknowledge it. Let someone know that you trust and you love and you know is there for you, and will not, you know, turn around and use that as a, you know, to blackmail you, you know, like how kids do. But like going back to the first one, like just to let God know, and just to rest in the fact that He loves you and He accepts you no matter what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. Like a scripture that I'm thinking of like right now is this John 10, I think it is 14, where He says, I'm the good shepherd. And where it says, okay, yes, it's actually before that. It says, I'm the good shepherd, 11. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. He says, like, he steps in and he will sacrifice himself for you. So he's not God is not this person that's waiting, sitting back and waiting for you to reach this particular next step, this particular next level. And it's like, I'm only going to do this for you if you reach that level. If you step it up, you need to step it up, you know. And unfortunately, we view him that way because that's how society works. Yeah. If you want something, you work for it, you get rewarded for it.
Yeah.
But we need to now rest in the fact that we are loved and we are accepted by him. And even when we go through tough times, we can actually lean on him because he understands and he cares for us. And eventually we'll see that he used that particular situation, because even now we can talk about when we backslid per se, how it happened. We will probably talk about it in you know, this way to say, like, it's bad, we shouldn't have done it. And yes, we shouldn't have done it, but God, if you look at your life now, he has not let you go. He's used that situation to teach you something, and you've actually come out as a better person. Am I saying now willfully going back? It's like, no, I'm not saying do that. But what I'm saying is that, like, at least that one thing, no matter what you go through, at least that one thing, that God loves me, I'm accepted by him. I might not have everything put together right now, but he loves me and he's going to work this out for my good. And he's going to bring people my way that are going to help me. And I'm just going to continue pouring out my heart to him.
Yeah.
And eventually, he will work out ways in which to get you back. Yeah. You can come back willingly, or you can come back with one leg. As long as you come back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks, Courtney, for that. The last thing I'm just going to do is that I'm going to give a song dedication today. Right? It's the song by Casting Crowns, which helped me a lot. It's called Slow Fade. And I love you can listen to it whenever you get a chance. But just, there's two lines there that I think are pretty deep. It says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray. And thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid. When you've given yourself away, people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade, it's a slow fade.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the crux of the matter, you know, that sometimes you don't see it coming. It doesn't announce itself when it's coming, but it's that slow fade. So be watchful, be watchful for the red flags, have people around you and listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, just all those things that we've shared, but you know, we could talk forever. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Courtney, for being with us.
Cool.
Thank you.
T-Mac, always appreciate it. We actually missed you. You'd been MIA for too long.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going MIA and you're going to be like running. Well, I'm joking. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.